I want to introduce John Lewis to you. John is a graduate from Darien High School. He's been very active in youth ministry in a variety of ways, going to VWAP with us, sharing wonderful gifts that he has. It's always interesting to see the way that the effects of student ministries has on students, and one of them is John seeing his choice of college, Eastern University, which I bet until he met Abby Young had maybe, oh, you're going to Gordon? We see the effects of our senior pastor, Sam Schroeder. We got to talk after this. I apologize. He was really excited about going to Eastern, and then something happened. Sam won. He's going to Gordon College, which is a fine institution. He's got to end with one of the members of the trustees. So John Lewis is going to share a little bit of his faith and the way that God's been working in his life. So come on up, John.
Good morning, everybody. I'm John Lewis, and I'm a follower of Christ. I wasn't always a follower of Christ. I mean, I was a follower of Christ, whatever. It really didn't change until around mid to early high school. I didn't realize I was really missing something, though, until about late middle school. In late middle school, some of my friends decided to turn to atheism. They were discovering this scientific approach to reality that that turned them to atheism. They weren't the, oh, let's worship Satan. These people really were looking into like Dawkins, into biology, evolution, and it made me question not exactly God's existence, maybe a little bit, but it was mostly what does God mean for me? Who is Jesus? So, at the same time, my mom realizes that her youngest is starting to grow up and is going to move out pretty soon, so she decides to get me more involved in the church. And at the same time, I'm very interested in what Jesus means, who he is. So I start going to Engage more. I start going to, first it was Shack with Frank, then it was Engage with Mike. I started to go on VWAP, which is the West Virginia trip. And I began to learn who Christ was, but the final part was, what did he mean for me? So I grew more questions. One of Mike's lessons during Engage was that we should have peace with our neighbors and that conflicting with other people is a bad thing. But at the same time, in Romans 5-3, this is in the same lesson, it says, and our hope of sharing the glory of God, and not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And that seems very contradicting at first. I mean, it only raises more questions, but then I realize life is good. I mean, conflict and love, these parts of our lives that make our lives devoted to a God, to make it human. And that only created more questions for me. I mean, what am I supposed to live my life for? I mean, I know life is good, but what am I supposed to do with that? My questions kept brewing every lesson. Every added piece of knowledge just made me wonder more and more. But I realized that these questions were a good thing. That I was exploring a greater and more amazing God. Atheists were using these questions to separate themselves from God. But I found myself using these questions and my search for these questions getting me closer to God. Absolute truths were very hard to come by for me, but I knew one absolute truth by the end of all of these questions. Not even the end, I am still asking these questions, But the absolute truth is that there is a powerful God and that he loves us all. Once I realized this, I realized I was no longer a Christian. I was a Christian, a real Christian, someone who knew Christ, knew his goals for me, and was really exploring. So all I could say to you is to explore your faith and to not be afraid to ask questions. It's exciting to learn as long as you listen to anyone you meet. It will lead you to the absolute truth. And I will leave with this quote from Jeremiah 29:12 from the Old Testament. Then when you call upon me and come pray for me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.
Thank you, John. We always look at, on Children and Youth Sunday, our young ones that they're learning, but it never stops. You come to the church all the time, and there's people, young and old, learning about Christ, questions that come, and seeking his truth. As of the beginning of this service, Kenny Weiss was going to Greensboro College. Still is. Okay. I want to follow up on that. Kenny Weiss is heading to Greensboro College. Come on up, Kenny. He's going to share a little bit of his testimony, also the work of God in his life.
Good morning. As you all know, I'm Kenny Weiss, and I've been coming to MPC for my entire life, but became a member my freshman year of high school. I've been very involved, and I've been a leader in most middle school things, participating in Shack and Engage, and you'll usually see me playing some sort of instrument underneath the direction of Mike Orr. Each and one of these things I hold very, very close to my heart. But the one event, I would call it, that brought me closest to Christ and really showed me how he works in my life was my first trip to West Virginia. I know John touched on it, was VWAP, Vacation with a Purpose. And what we do is we go down to West Virginia with all the stuff that's in Horton Hall and run a vacation Bible school for the kids there, just a poverty-stricken area, and they love it. We love it. It's so much fun. When you're driving down, now, granted, I was a sixth grader, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. But as I was traveling down to West Virginia through the Smoky Mountains, you go through a trance to see the trees and to see just this beautiful country. And I thought to myself, did I make the right decision to come down here? Did I really make the right decision? When questions like that start to come up, you feel a little uneasy. Now, it was my first time, and it was surreal traveling all the way down there, but when we got to Dunlow, West Virginia, we unloaded the vans, and there were two little boys there. And they were just hanging out, doing what they do, throwing Frisbee around. And I felt a push within me to go introduce myself and say, hey, do you mind if I come play with you guys? Naturally, I looked around for Mike whispering in my ear saying, come on, get involved. But no, there was nobody around. There was this push that I kept fighting. This urge to actually go up and talk to these boys. But there was this push that just kept me going. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's just what I did. I trusted in him, and it was almost a subconscious feeling that I had. The Lord was working through me to lend a friendly hand to these kids. Turns out, Cody and Dakota were very friendly, as were all the kids there. They're still friends of mine today, actually. Now, coming to church and building a relationship with God wasn't always done by choice. As we've all heard Pastor Stewart say, I had a drug problem. My mom drugged me to church every Sunday. That was just me when I was younger. But if I didn't come to church and I didn't become grounded in Christ, I wouldn't be where I am today. Now, within the community, I'm very involved and love doing what I do, but there's no place like church to become grounded in the Lord. So next time you feel the push within you to travel outside your comfort zone, I challenge you to do it. It's very worth it. Thank you.
I don't know if he needs an introduction, but Brian Garrity is a graduating senior, got his Eagle Scout last Sunday, so this is an exciting time for him, and he is going off to Skidmore College as of, okay, good, I got the nod on that, Skidmore College, so testimony from Brian Garrity, come on up.
Good morning. I'm Brian, and as many of you know, I've been going here my entire life, same as Kenny. So this is kind of a bittersweet moment for me. It's kind of strange, and I'm a little scared, I have to admit. But throughout my time at MPC, I've been developing what many know as a servant's heart. I've been cultivating it through youth ministries on many mission trips. I come from a servant family. I have been doing all these things, and I really thought I knew what mission work was. So I've gone to West Virginia 9 times, 8 with VWAP, and once on a mission trip in spring break. I've done the 30-hour famine, the 24-hour famine. I've been to Mississippi, and most notably, I've been to New Orleans on Katrina relief. And all that sounds great, but what exactly does it mean? On New Orleans, which is the little story I'm going to tell you that really showed something to me, we are in Central City working on houses. And I don't know if you know anything about Central City, New Orleans, but it is not a nice place. Not saying anything bad about the people there, but it has become a pit for drug dealers and gangbangers alike. And it is quite a contrast to Darien, Connecticut. But we work on the houses. We're welcomed as a member of the community. Trust me, it's safe. Don't worry. It's okay. And we work on the houses, we work really hard, and at the end we have a barbecue where we invite all the people from the neighborhood and we give them free food and friendly Christian company. And it's lovely, it really is. This particular barbecue, there was a particular woman, and she looked like she came from a very, very bad place. She was this thin, unshowered, and hopefully knowing to herself, but I don't think she had control of her jaw because you couldn't understand a word she said. Don't worry, though, that didn't stop her from talking. And in fact, she kept talking all the time. And we just had to smile and nod and, you know, agree. It was something else entirely. But I'm standing there and she's talking to me, and I somehow decipher that she needs some help to take some food back to her place. I didn't think anything of it, so me and I recruited a friend of mine named Alex Norell. We grabbed some food and we're going to go take some food back to where this lady stays. Now, we didn't think to tell anyone we were going to do this. I mean, don't be silly. Trust me, MPC did not okay this. This is, we're breaking the rules. it's a little disclaimer. we go on this nice journey through the neighborhood, and we end up at this house. Now, let me tell you, I know for a fact that she was squatting because this house had a tree cutting it in half. There was a red X on the front door, which is a signal of the community that it is to be burned down. She pulls out a key and unlocks this little padlock and opens the door and gestures for us to come in. And Alex and I are standing there on the brink of the abyss because there is no electricity. It is dark. With the little light you can see, there are holes in the floor, broken furniture, water damage everywhere. And we're just standing there going, what in the world are we doing? So with one big sigh, I hear this little voice inside of me that says, go on in. What? What does go on in mean? I mean, I've done mission work this whole time, so I'm not unfamiliar with situations like this, but I mean, I've studied martial arts. I know how many things are wrong with this situation. I don't know who's in there. I don't know what they have or what they want. All I know is that I have things like food and like money and like myself that other people might find, you know, worth something. But Alex and I look at each other one more time and take the plunge, I guess you could say, which is something I'm still thinking about today. And we end up in this house, we're walking through, and there's one light on. And this one light is at the very end of the house, so we navigate there. We open a door, and there's this little converted office. That's where this lady's staying. It's a little couch, little table. What struck me about the room was not, you know, how sad it was. On the walls, on the table, on the couch, everywhere, was Jesus paraphernalia. Let me just describe this to you. The walls were coated in posters. There were magazines stacking the walls. There were newspaper clippings everywhere. There were little Jesus figurines holding up candles. It was profound. So what does this mean? Me, terrified, but the mission, you know, very important. You think maybe this could have been God saying, hey, buddy, I don't think you have it just yet. You think about it. Mission work could be easy, physical labor for Jesus. I mean, there's nothing simpler than that. It doesn't take a whole lot of brain power and a whole lot of heart. This did. This was absolutely terrifying. And that little voice saying, go on in, I know where it came from. And this woman, before we left, she wanted to thank us and thank God. She wanted to pray with us, and we prayed. And, you know, in the voice that we couldn't really understand, she was going off. She was thanking God for everything and anything she could think of. And I'm talking about the place she stayed, the food she got, the people she met, you know, places she's been, life she's had. This is a woman who had nothing. She had less than nothing and was still thanking God to the mountaintops. What does that mean for me, the kid who, you know, thinks he knows something about mission work and, you know, puts in a hard day's work for it? Well, it means that I got lots to learn. And that's what we've been doing this whole time in youth ministries, is learning some stuff. And I think it'll be really good. Now that I'm going off to college, I gotta say, I'm terrified again. But I know what that means, because I've been there before. So I'm gonna take that with me. And I thank you all for teaching me how to do that. And hope to make you proud. Thank you.
It's always wonderful to hear from our ministries and our students of what's been going on in their lives. Churches and businesses have similarities and differences. We both take in money and both do things, but most businesses strive to make a profit through producing a good or a service or a durable good. And churches aren't like that. We're not in it to make money. Whatever money we get, we give away whatever we can. And what's our durable good? What do we produce? A pastor I worked with in California said one day that when you look at it as a church, the thing that we really produce are followers of Jesus Christ, people who are knowing Jesus Christ, who are following and seeking him. And that's one of the great things that we're able to highlight on Children and Youth Sunday, are children and youth who are following after Jesus Christ. But it doesn't happen because of some program that we put on. It's done with people, and one of the main things are the great volunteers that we have, and Linda spoke of them a little bit earlier. Another thing that we are also blessed with is a great staff, people who are using gifts on a daily basis to support these ministries. In children's ministry, Liz Morelli, who many of you, it's the name on the email with a face that you've maybe never seen before. She's the administrative assistant that keeps things organized and running in a wonderful way. Samantha Theoret, who's been a wonderful assistant helping to organize Sunday school. And I'd be amiss if I didn't mention that last fall when we found ourselves at the end of the summer without a director, wondering, what are we going to do with Sunday school? Sue O'Donovan with Samantha and Liz were able to recruit almost 100 Sunday school teachers to take care of the three-year-olds through fifth grade for Sunday school. Wonderful job by them. And Linda Yim, again, as I mentioned earlier, has done a wonderful job of stepping up and using her word, She's done awesome, or awesomely, I guess would be more appropriate. We appreciate her service. In student ministries, Lori Nelson has moved upstairs. She had done a wonderful job with student ministries, but is now the administrative assistant for Pastor Brandy. I went on vacation for a week, and that was a mistake, because when I got back, Brandy had come on board, and Lori was helping out, and I get this, I really like Lori, can I have her? And I said, I like her too. But we have been blessed by Kara Thompson, who's come on board. She's had sons that have been in student ministry and knows our program well and has helped in great ways. Abby Young is celebrating the beginning of her third year. She's done two full years of working mainly with our middle schoolers and girls. And she's taken on two small groups. Last year she did one. She wanted to continue one. And I said, don't burn out. And she's done a wonderful job. Early mornings with some of them, and just her commitment to the girls is fantastic. Also on our staff, we're blessing, and it's an exciting time to see Mike Orr going to seminary at Fuller. It's something that he and I have been talking about for several months, of where's God leading him and calling him. And it's wonderful when someone has the clarity of where they're going and what that God's equipped them, and prepared them. As Rosemary was talking about our four seminary students that we support through the Horton Scholarship, I don't know if y'all took note, but all four of them have been on student ministry staff at one time or another. So if you have someone that you think might want to be going to seminary in the near future, we're looking for Mike's replacement. We could have a nice training ground for them, as it's turned out to be. Linda shared many of the highlights of children's ministry and what's been going on, and I won't go through and reiterate those. But one of the things I want to share with you is we're excited about what the fall has in store for us. And we're looking at redoing Sunday school, kind of a wholesale change that I can't exactly share all the details yet, but it will be different in many ways. One of the questions is, what are you doing about a director? I'd love to share more about that too. But we have a committed committee who has done a wonderful job of looking for just the right person that God has called to serve as our full-time director. And we think we're close. We really think that we're close, and we'll have an announcement before school starts again. So we are excited about the direction that God's leading that committee. The people, the volunteers who are coming forward saying, hey, if we do this, we want to really be a part of that. One of the things I'll make about VBS that's coming up beginning next week is it's almost like World Cup soccer in some ways, I think, for people around here. You know, for me, World Cup soccer is something I don't pay attention to. And once every 3 years or 4 years, however often the World Cup is, I kind of pay attention and act like I'm excited and will not watch a full game because it's a good time to take a nap, in my opinion. But I know there's some people, oh my goodness, but I'll watch a whole NASCAR race. So, you know, there's we all have our pleasure of things that we enjoy. But VBS is like that, where people will really pour in their time and attention, and it's time for that. And this week, I'm going to make a plea for you, Linda. This church gets transformed from the normal-looking Horton Hall and Sunday School to the VBS theme, and this year it's High Seas. And it doesn't magically happen. We need volunteers to do it. So if you find yourself with an hour or two during the week that you could give Children's Ministry a call and say, hey, I can come up and help hang birds on the ceiling, or whatever it is that needs to be done. We need people to come and just give a little bit of time, because your little bit of time with everybody's little bit of time really transforms this place into a place that just appeals to the children and really speaks the truth, the love of Jesus Christ. Student ministries have been active over the last year. We took a mystery tour last year, had about 12 kids who all we told them to do was pack a bag, and we went to many places up in upstate New York and developed and hopefully strengthened their understanding of who Christ is. Took over 30 kids to West Virginia with VWAP. Had another group go to the Great Escape, a middle school ministry in Pennsylvania. We confirmed 40 new new confirmands last October. And about the same time started a new class of confirmands with a brand new format. Had ski trips, day trips to New York City, paintball, spring break family mission trip to West Virginia, which I'm excited about the tradition that's becoming of families looking at spring break and saying we're going to make that a priority for us to go and serve together. Harbor, which is our Wednesday night program for 7th and 8th grade, and on Tuesday night every other week for 6th graders, age 6, Engage. A lot of things going on in student ministry. But one of the things I think is most has the greatest impact, and for the three people that shared their testimony, I know it's an important part of their life, are small groups. And small groups are wonderful, but the hard part about them is that they're small by their definition. Usually 8 to 10 kids who get together with an adult leader, and they're studying not just the Bible, but also studying life. What are those things that are challenging the students today? There's times where I've had my small group meet, mainly 8th grade guys, and someone will bring up a question, and I had a lesson prepared, and that lesson's gone because of that question. And we heard John talk about it, and Linda, the place to be able to answer and discuss questions. And that's what small group is, a wonderful thing, a wonderful place to do. But it's hard to do those without more small group leaders. And so whatever your time schedule is, if you have a love for answering questions, for leading young middle school, high school men or women in the ways of God, we will help you. We won't just say, good luck. But we have some wonderful ways to help prepare you if God's leading you that in that direction. We have more kids wanting to do small groups than we have the opportunities for small groups, just because of the time of the staff and the lack of volunteers. Now, one of the final things. For all the graduates, that their names are in the bulletin, we have a special gift for some of you who said, yes, I will be here and want to receive a gift. If you're in this bulletin and you think, oh, I forgot to call and let them know I have a gift, let us know and we'll make sure you've got one. But after the service, if you'll come forward and see Abby, we have a special gift for our graduating seniors, something for them to take with them to college to continue to grow in their faith and understanding. To close with, I want to share how important not only student ministries is, it is important, but the family. And that's a real place for ministry. I read some research that said parents spend an average of 7 hours a day raising children. Now, that 7 hours a day, some of that is driving them places, preparing things for them, and not necessarily one-on-one contact with them. But if you look at that 7 hours a day, that equals 5,096 hours a year that an average parent spends in raising their child. If a student were to come on a weekly basis to Sunday school, attend an hour of worship, be in a small group, come to Harbor or an Engage, that's a total of about 5 hours a week that they would come to those events. Now, if those events happened every single week of the year and they happened every single, and they were to attend and never miss, that would be a total of 260 hours in a year that they would be involved in ministries of some part with student ministries. Now, you look at that difference, 5,096 hours that parents have with their children versus 260 hours. And you realize the wisdom of Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The teaching of following Jesus Christ, the church is a very important part of that. But an essential part of that is at home, is a place where the faith is being discussed. That what is it that that you see God? Where did you see God at work in a certain day? How do you see God at work with your friends? How does your understanding of who God is and loving your neighbor affect the way that you interact with your friends at the lunch table or on the lacrosse field or wherever it might be? Now, there's a whole series that I have that I give in a three-hour seminar. And don't worry, I'm not going to, I'll try to condense it all into 2 minutes. But on September 11th, which is a Saturday, I plan on presenting that. So if you know of parents of children and youth, it's a great opportunity to help understand how can you make your home a place where you're teaching your kids about who Jesus Christ is. There will be a lot of advertisement about that in the near future. But our student ministries is in a great, great place. We're excited about what God's doing there, excited about who it is that God's going to bring on to lead our guys' ministry as Mike heads out in September. Children's ministry is in a little bit of a transition, but we're excited about the direction, have great elders, a great team, and know that God is blessing us with wonderful children and wonderful volunteers to continue to serve. Now, some of you might be sitting here saying, I'm already very active. My kids are grown. What can I do? No matter how old you are, no matter how involved you are, truly the greatest thing you can do for our ministries is pray for them. It's pray for them. Pray for the kids. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the staff. It has such power on the lives of these kids, the lives of these students, in them seeing who Jesus Christ is and proclaiming him as their Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for the men and women who volunteer the time that they give in serving our children. We thank you that they do it out of joy. We thank you that they do it with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to guide us all to serve you, to find our place, to share your love with others, and fill us with your Spirit that we too can share your good news and your truth. We thank you for these graduates and pray for them as they go to their colleges or whatever it is that you have in store for them in the future, that they will continue to walk with you. Help them to find Christian fellowship, to hold them accountable, to strengthen them in their service. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Just stand and sing with us our final song.